Bull markets don't die of old age. I've done a study very similar to the one Chris has just done and talked about earlier on, where I looked at, for the last 55 years in Australia and the United States, how long bull markets last for, what are conditions at the end of those. And what I've found is, firstly, they don't die of old age. The length of bull markets just varies dramatically. As Chris found, shocks and rising interest rates certainly a contribution. But the one thing I found that was very different, valuations always are a major contributor. And I think you may have looked at corrections, whereas I looked at something, a decent bear market, 25%. And what I found was, for much smaller ones, or for when you didn't have a valuation problem, the corrections tend to be more like corrections than bear markets. But before I really get into it, I'd just like to say how I'm a bit nervous today, because I don't like sitting next to Chris, because he makes nasty comments and he does them in a quiet voice. But I'm not even worried about it. I'm now worried about Mary. Did you hear Mary, when she was asked to say, what are the things she most agreed with today, her comments earlier on? You don't remember? Can you imagine what she's going to be like when she disagrees with somebody? So I'm sort of a bit nervous about that, but I'll continue on. So we looked at the bear markets. And I came up with, there's about 12 bear markets across the United States and Australia. They don't always overlap, which is kind of interesting. We always say, oh, if America sneezes, we catch a cold. Not the case. There are times when they have a bear market, we don't. There are times we have one, they don't. So there is a lot of overlap, but it's not 100%. The second piece was, you know, you often hear, oh, this bull market's been going for 11 years, it's long in the tooth, we should be concerned by that. Well, sometimes bull markets last about 2 years. Sometimes they often last about 12. We've got one in Australia that went for 17 years. So, you know, the difference between 2 and 17 basically says there's no timing value whatsoever. So bull markets don't die of old age. The second one is, what are the factors that seem to contribute? Rising interest rates for the whole year up to the top of the market seems to be a factor most of the time, but not all the time. Which is kind of, I was really surprised by, because it says it's a bit of a leading indicator. It's quite a leading indicator. The only trouble is, quite often you get rising interest rates for a year without a bear market, and sometimes you get bear markets without the rising interest rates. But it's certainly something to be concerned about. Shocks, also, as Chris found, definitely a concern. Now, the question is, how do you worry about, well, you worry about shocks, but how do you monitor them? Shocks, by their very definition, are uncertain. The chances of you predicting a shock are pretty low, which finally brings us back to valuations. Now, some of you may know, when I think about valuations, I look at what I expect to get over a 10-year period out of a market, and I compare it to the risk-free rate. If I'm getting more than the risk-free rate, I'll have it either fully priced. If I'm getting 2.5% more, I'll say that's fair value. If I'm getting 5% more, I'll say it's cheap. So for an example, in Australia, in the 80s, what could you get off bonds? Do you remember you get 16% on a government bond? Well, there was a time where Aussie equities looked like 12. I had that as expensive because it's less than bonds. Today, what are we getting on bonds? 1. You don't need much out of your equities to say actually they're fair value, cheap, or even fully priced. But in every case with one of these bear markets, using that valuation mechanism, which is different from the straight PE one, found that we were either in a fully priced status or overpriced at the time the bear market broke. So valuations is definitely something you want to be watching out for. That's why bear markets die.